Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour, I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. You know, as we stand before God someday, it's not going to matter how good you've been. It's not going to matter all the good things you may have tried to do. All that's going to matter is His righteousness. It's by His righteousness we are saved. Lord, we need you. We thank you so much for the work of salvation in our lives. We don't deserve it, do we? We don't deserve it. This morning, we're going to be talking about, again, the Holy Spirit. And we're going to be talking about experiencing the power and love. Experiencing power and love in the Spirit. And in order to do this morning, I brought with me an example, I guess. What do you call this? A prop, what do you call that? An object lesson. Thank you, Dan. Brain's not working. And neither is the remote control. So Clay will work that out for me. I want y'all to see this. This is quite possibly one of my favorite things. Last August, we were going through the remodel of the office, and Miss Libby told me that I needed to find a desk lamp, because where the lights were, my big fat head cast a shadow over my desk. And so she said, you need to find a desk lamp. I'm editorializing. It's not what she said. But my big fat head does cast a shadow over my desk. And so I needed a desk lamp. And so I found this. It's Tautronics brand. I'd never heard of it before, but if you ever get an opportunity, I highly suggest picking one of these up. I got it on Amazon.com. You can't see that. For $30. And you think, wow, that's not much for $30. But it's pretty amazing little desk lamp. You see, all of it comes apart. You can unscrew this and this base will come off. But at the back of the base, it's got a USB charger, so I can plug my phone into the back of this. But the best thing about this is that this comes off and it works no matter what. And so, you know, if I've got it here on my desk and, you know, I can tilt it, whatever, but I can also get underneath my desk or ask Troy to get underneath my desk and he can use it. And it's got multiple settings. It can get brighter. And I mean, it's just, wow, that is bright. It's a really pretty awesome desk lamp. In fact, it's so awesome. I took this desk lamp with me, and it was the first thing I set up at camp this week. Because one of the things that the guys rooming with me discovered is I don't go to bed early. And so I would put up barricades all around my bunk and turn on my light, and I would start reading, and I would stop 1, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, whatever. One night, Clay's barricade, he was next to me, and his barricade fell down, and he had the light in his eyes, and he doesn't realize how ugly that face was that he made at me. But it's okay, you know. The thing about this desk lamp, it has something I want to point it out to you. This right here on the back, and you can see it on the screen if you can't see it here, this is the power button. It's actually not a button. It's just a sensor. And if it has my hand on it, my finger on it, it changes the power and turns it off if I hold it down there. And I think that's really kind of cool. And as I was thinking about experiencing power and love in the Holy Spirit, experiencing power and love in the Holy Spirit, I thought about that sensor. You know, a lot of times we just forget to turn on the power in our lives. And it really doesn't take much. I mean, I don't even have to press it. Sometimes I just lay my hand on it and, oh, it comes on. You know, and then I have to figure out, oh, is it off or not, you know. But I think a lot of times we forget to engage the power in our lives. You know, power is essential in our lives. Just like this lamp, the really cool thing I like about this, and I didn't even mention this earlier, it's wireless. You know, it's up here, it's not plugged in. It has a place to plug it in, but I can use this lamp for anywhere from 3 to 8 hours without plugging it back into the wall. That's pretty awesome. You know, and so I can take it wherever I want. It can be on the stand. It can be off. You know, it's just really handy. Now, it will eventually run out of charge. It will run out of power, and I will have to plug it back in to the power source. And so I've got a power source on my desk, and so I plug it back in. You know, as I think about this, I see a lot of parallels between the way this lamp functions and the way that we ought to be functioning as Christians. You know, in the same way, our quiet time with the Lord fills us up for the work that He's called us to do. That lamp, its job is to cast light. It can't do that unless it's been on the power source. But once it walks away from the power source, so to speak, or is carried away from the power source, it still does its job for a time. We too have a power source, and that power source is the Holy Spirit of God. We need to spend time with Him daily. If I am not refilling myself with the Spirit of God on a daily basis, I will become useless in the work of God. And amens rang out through the building. If I'm not plugging back into that power source, I will become useless. This morning we're going to look at the book of Ephesians. And I invite you to turn there with me to the book of Ephesians chapter 3. Now, it's against my nature to jump into the middle of a book and just start preaching. But we're not teaching through the entire book here. And so I feel like it's important to at least give you a snippet of background here in Ephesians chapter 3. Because here in Ephesians chapters 1, 2, and 3, we find a tremendous treatise of Paul about the work of God in salvation. And you remember we've talked about this in the weeks prior to this, how that we are saved by grace through faith. That's not of ourselves. It's a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast or brag. For by grace we have been saved. We talked about grace last week, that charis, and how that God has gifted us that charismata. And so he goes into great detail in chapter 1 about who we are in Christ and our righteousness and how that His righteousness becomes our righteousness because we are nothing in front of Him. And so because we are found in Him, we can stand before Him and say, I'm your child because you have adopted me into your family. Chapter 2 goes on and tells us more about how that happens. And chapter 3 goes on and tells us a little bit more. I want us to start reading in chapter 3, verse 7. And just read 1.5 verses here. Paul writes here in verse 7, whereof I was made a minister, according to the gift of the grace of God, given unto me by the effectual working of His power, unto me who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given. So what is he talking about here when he talks about whereof? He's talking about the gospel. All of this that he's just talked about, chapter 1, chapter 2, the first part of chapter 3, he's talking about the good news of Jesus Christ, the gospel of Jesus Christ, whereof he was made a minister. He was a minister, a servant of the gospel of Jesus Christ, whereof I was made a minister according to what? What does it say? According to the gift of grace. And now you guys know that that gift of grace that he talks about in Ephesians 2, for by grace you have been saved through faith. That gift of grace is that same kind of gift that we receive not just in salvation, but also in that supernatural enabling of the Spirit in his work in us and through us. It is both God's charis, but it is also his charismata, as we talked about last week. It is that gift of grace, gift of the grace of God given to me by the effectual working of his power. So we're talking about the power of God at work in us, and that grace has been given to us. So this morning I want us to look at, for our text, a little further on in the chapter. And if you would please, look at verse 14, and we're going to be reading through verse 21. Ephesians 3, verses 14 through 21. The Bible says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his grace, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church, by Christ Jesus, throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." Here in this passage of Scripture, we find Paul is praying. And he gives us here a cause for prayer in verses 14 and 15. He says, "For this cause," right? "For this cause, I bow my knee." This is the reason that he is bowing his knee. Now, in the beginning of this chapter, verses 2 through 6, we find that Paul is describing his responsibility for teaching the grace of God. He has a responsibility, as do all of we. We are ministers of the gospel. We are servants of the gospel. If we've trusted in Christ as our Savior, we have a responsibility for teaching others about the grace of God. And then he goes on in the next verses, 7 through 12, and he describes his opportunity to serve God through the grace that has been given to him through the Holy Spirit. That giftedness that he received through the Holy Spirit. And so now he's gone on and on about the grace of God, the gift of God that is salvation, the gospel of Jesus Christ, and how that he has a responsibility to be a part of these things, has a responsibility to teach these things. And he's telling the Ephesians, "And so do you." And he's telling us today at Temple Baptist Church, we also have a responsibility to be ministers of the grace of God. So Paul shares with them this prayer. He said, "Because of all this, I want to pray for you right now. For this cause, I will bow my knees down to our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, the interesting thing I find here, you know, our English translations break this section up a lot. But if you'll notice on the screen, it will tell you. Verses 14 through 19. Oops. Oh, That was good. My screen disappeared, but yours didn't. Verses 14 through 19 is one sentence. One sentence. Paul was crazy when it came to grammar. He just kept going on and inserting different ideas and taking a pause here and there and everywhere. Did you hear what this said? This is that one sentence. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his power in, by his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with the fullness of God. Now that's one big complete thought. And so this is his prayer for the Ephesians. He had a cause for prayer. The second thing that I want us to look at is that this prayer was a prayer for power. He says in verse 16 that he will grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened. To be strengthened. What does it say? With might by his spirit in your inner man. You know, a lot of us are, I know there have been times in my life, maybe not quite as much anymore, but there was a time in my life where strength was a really important thing to me. All I wanted to do was get stronger. I wanted to lift more weights. I wanted to be able to push people around. And by the way, that was on a football field, not in general. But I wanted to be stronger. You know, strength is a good thing, I guess, but what he's talking about here is not what you can see on the outside or the brute force that you can feel from someone, but it's talking about being strengthened in the inner man. You see, without the power of the Holy Spirit, our inner man cannot be strong. Do you believe that? Without the power of the Holy Spirit, we are weak. In fact, if you look at the screen, it says, if you seek to obey the Word of God, apart from the power of the Holy Spirit of God, your spiritual life will be lifeless, dull, and inconsistent. Is that a fair statement to you this morning? If you're trying to obey the Word without the power behind the Word, then you'll never be able to measure up. Paul understood that, and so Paul is praying this prayer for the Ephesians to understand and grasp hold of that power of the Holy Spirit. If you want to walk in the Spirit of God, folks, we've got to get on our knees and we've got to open our Bibles. We've got to pray and ask God for His Spirit, and then we've got to listen to what He has to say to us in His Word. Do you understand that? Are you guys as sleepy as I am this morning because you're not talking to me at all? You're kind of staring off into space. Now, I know about 60 of us have an excuse of church camp. I don't know. Maybe it's too hot outside today. If we want to experience the power of the Spirit in our lives, we've got to pray and ask for that, and we've got to listen to His Word. Be in His Word. What does Psalm 119 tell us? Thy Word, finish it for me. Thy Word have I, that I might not... Even the psalmist understood. It's when we put God's Word in our heart and experience the power of that Word, that is when we're able to live a consistent, powerful, Christian life. That next verse, in the first part of verse 17, it goes on and it says, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. That Christ may dwell in your hearts. Now, this does not refer to the indwelling of the Holy Spirit at the moment of salvation. Okay? Yes, when you trust in Christ and when you receive that gift of grace from God, you experience the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. He seals you as a down payment for your future glorification in heaven. You have no worries. Once you trust in Christ as your Savior, that grace has saved you. There's nothing you could do to get it. There's nothing you can do to get rid of it. But that's not what this is talking about. It's that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. This is referring to Christ at being at home in our hearts, being welcome in our hearts, that we are saying, Christ, I want you to be the Lord over my life. We are yielding ourselves to Him. In other words, He wants to be the center of our lives, dominating every aspect of our life, being the dominating factor in our attitudes, being the dominating factor in our conduct. This is a prayer for power. The power of the Holy Spirit of God at work in our life through the grace that's given to us by Jesus Christ. Goes on in verse 17, it says, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. Now, you see, this next section of this sentence goes on, it goes beyond a prayer for power, but now it's explaining to us what this power is for. And the first purpose behind this power is we need power to be able to understand the love of Christ. We need His power to understand the love of Christ. It says being rooted there in verse 17. Being rooted. This is a metaphor that Paul uses. He's saying like a plant, we are rooted into His love. And then he goes on and says, and being grounded, just like a building cornerstone, Brother Dan. That cornerstone, we are grounded, we have a firm foundation in His love. You know what I love about this verb here, these two verbs for being planted and being grounded? It's just like that verb that we found in Ephesians 2:8 that says, for by grace you have been saved. It's the perfect tense of the Greek. And what that perfect tense means is that there was a point in time when it started in your life, but it continues and never ends until the day that you die. This is the same tense, that perfect tense, that we can say that we were planted, we are being planted, and we will be planted in the love of Christ. We are grounded in His love. We were grounded in His love. We will be grounded in His love. This is a firm foundation. Paul wants us to understand this love. Understand the love of God. It started before we were ever born. We experienced it for the first time at the point of our salvation, and we continue to experience it each and every day. The purpose of this prayer is that we may be able to comprehend and to know the love of Christ. Now notice what it says in verse 18. It says, may be able to comprehend with all saints... what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ? When I think of the breadth, the length, the depth, the height, you know, I think of a building. I think of an object. And I always think of it as like, let's measure how big this is. You know, how big is my house? It's so many feet by so many feet by so many feet with this high of ceilings. You know, what's the volume? And you know, we could try to measure the volume of God's love, but I don't think that's the purpose of this verse in verse 18. It's not an attempt to measure the amount of love that God has, but rather it's an attempt to describe the immensity of God's love. And the fact that we cannot describe it, nor can we measure it. And so that's why Paul says, so that I'm praying that you will have the power to comprehend the breadth, the depth, the height, the length of the love of God. You know, I love music. I love songs. And there's an old song that was written back in 1917 by a man named Frederick Lehman. And that song's title is The Love of God. This is one of the verses from that song. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry. Nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. We can't understand how great God's love is. I mean, can you imagine writing as this author described, using up all the ink in the ocean, if every drop of water were ink, and filling every bit of the sky talking about his love? He gave us his love letter. And I, you know, sometimes the enormity of Scripture and all that's there is intimidating. But aren't you glad he made it as small as he did, because he could have told us so much more. He could have gone on and on so much more in telling us about how much he loves us. You know, I went to school with a guy years ago, because I'm an old man. And this guy wrote a song. And it's not a popular song, but every time I think about this passage, or every time I think about the love of God, this is the song that I think of. And so this morning, even with my failing voice from church camp, I'm going to attempt to sing this song for you. And the song is called, How High is the Love of My God. How wide, how long, how deep and how strong, how high is the love of Jesus for me. How wide, how long, how deep and how strong, how high is the love of my God. How wide, how long, how deep and how strong, how high is the love of Jesus for me. How wide, how long, how deep and how strong, how high is the love of my God. It reaches higher than the farthest star, deeper than the ocean floor. It doesn't matter where you are, he's knocking at your door. No one ever loved you more. How wide, how long, how deep and how strong, how high is the love of Jesus for me. How wide, how long, how deep and how strong, how high is the love of my God. It reaches higher than the farthest star, deeper than the ocean floor. It doesn't matter where you are, He's knocking at your door. No one ever loved you more. How high is the love of Jesus for me? How wide, how long, how deep and how strong, how high is the love of my God. How high is the love of my God's love. Now, I'm sorry about the noise, I don't know. But you know what? God's love is incomprehensible. Without the power of the Holy Spirit enabling the believer to understand God's love, it is incomprehensible. The immensity of God's love, the breadth, the length, the height, the depth of God's love goes beyond our understanding. But praise God that the Holy Spirit enables us to comprehend. It says, may be able to comprehend and to know the love of Christ. Notice what he says there in verse 19. And to know the love of Christ with which passeth knowledge. Now, I don't know if you realize this, but there are two different words used there. To know the love of Christ and that passeth knowledge. You see, Paul is praying that we will know the love of Christ experientially. It's the word gnosko. To know with experience. To make it your own. But this other that he goes on and says, which passeth knowledge. That's just a mental comprehension. You know, you may be here today and you may be sitting there and say, I know that God loves me. I know that Jesus loves me. I've been singing this song since I was 3 years old. But if it's just here and not here, then you're missing the boat, folks. The Holy Spirit of God has been given to us to do a work within us to help us to know the breadth, the length, the height, and the depth of the love of Christ. And he goes on in the end of verse 19 and he says that he prays that we will experience not only knowing the love of Christ, but we will also experience the power of the Holy Spirit's control over our lives, that we might be filled with all the fullness of God. He wants us to live each day walking in the Spirit. And folks, there's nothing greater to get you to want to walk in the Spirit. There's nothing that will get you more motivated to live your life for God than to understand His love. The love that it took to send His Son to die on the cross for us. Paul finishes this passage of Scripture talking about a power, not just the power to understand his love, but a power that is way, way beyond us. Notice what he says in verses 20 and 21. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Folks, the power that is at work in you is a power that is well beyond anything that you can imagine. He says there that he is able by the power that worketh in us. That means we are not able, but he is. He works in us. He works through us to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Or another translation would say, above all that we could imagine. God wants to do an amazing work through you. He wants you to experience his power and understand his love. And he wants to do an amazing work through you. You know, I think a lot of times we limit God. Let me back up. I know we always limit God because we can't understand it. We can't imagine what God could be doing in us. We can't imagine what God might be doing in our circumstances. We can't imagine that God could ever use somebody like me. Because you know what? As I sang that last song this morning that Brother Dan led, Lord, I need you. Every hour, I need you. You know, we learned something at camp this week. True worship is being confronted not only with the truth of God's word, but the truth about ourselves. In Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah, when he saw the Lord high and lifted up, what was his first reaction? He said, woe is me, for I am unclean. I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips. When we truly worship, folks, we realize just how bad we are. And we realize just how undeserving we are of that love. And then for God to say that he wants to do exceeding abundantly above all that I can imagine in my life and through me, I struggle to grasp onto that. But folks, it is just that. It is a power beyond us. We have an opportunity today to turn on the power. All it takes is asking God, yielding your life to him. And you know, it may do some amazing things. But we can't ever forget, power's not in here. Power comes from the other source. Because eventually, that power will run out. We got to plug into that power. We got to understand that love that God has for us. Let's pray. Father, I do thank you for your work and your power to help me understand your love for me, Father. God, I'll admit to you, I don't deserve your love. But God, I thank you for it. Thank you that you make it clear to me that I'm the most important thing in the world to you. And I don't get that, God. But thank you. Lord, help me to live my life in such a way that makes you happy, that pleases you. Lord, help us to plug in to the power source. Help us to spend time each day in your word and on our knees in prayer. Father, as we go into this time of invitation, Father, I just pray that you would be working in the hearts of those here today to realize that you are a God that goes beyond limitations. And that you have an amazing, incredible, unimaginable, incomprehensible plan for each and every one of our lives. And so, Father, we yield ourselves to you. Lord, we want to go all in. Father, I pray in Jesus' name.